I love that opener. It is one of my favorite openers for our series. And I'm so thankful that once again, you are hanging out with us as we conclude our series called Arrows today. Now, what we've been walking through in this series is we have talked about living our life on target. You see, God has given us specific instructions for those we love, how we can have a God-centered relationship and how we can live our life on target. And regardless of how we've missed the mark in the past, now is the perfect time to pull back the bowstring, release well, and live our life on target. So today, we're going to be talking about the follow-through. Now, before we get cranking, rocking, and rolling today, I've only got one question for us as we get to connect together more today. And here's the question I would love to hear your answer to so that we can continue to get to know each other well today. And here it is. What's your favorite Independence Day weekend memory? What's your favorite July 4th memory? What's your favorite Independence Day weekend or week memory? Whatever it is, what is your favorite memory of July 4th? I can't wait to read these. Some of these are going to be fun. Some of them are probably not going to be so fun. I have so many of them, it's not even funny. First of all, it's not going outside because the sun burned too easily. I'm just going to be real with you. But for real, one of my favorites, there's so many that come to mind, but one of my favorites that I remember as a child is I remember we went to the beach one time on July 4th weekend, and I remember the fireworks going off at the beach and how crazy it was and how it felt like everyone was shooting fireworks at us. That was crazy, but also fun, is one of my memories. Another one here recently that we have is I remember going to Tim and Olivia's and we got the good fireworks. You know what I'm saying? Like the boom, boom fireworks. And I remember the HOA not being happy about shooting those fireworks, but man, oh man, it was so fun and so loud. Like you were ready to take cover when those fireworks went off. It was awesome. But those are some of my favorite July 4th memories. I can't wait to read yours. So let's continue on in our series called Arrows as we talk about the follow-through. Now, we've been building to this throughout the series. Now, there's more involved in this than a bow and arrow, but throughout these few weeks, we've been focusing on what it looks like to shoot a bow and arrow. And we started out by talking about a solid foundation and how our stance, how our solid foundation was so important for how we were going to shoot the bow and arrow. Then the next week, we talked about knocking the arrow, which literally means getting the arrow on the string and getting it ready to be pulled back. And then last week, we talked about the anchor point of shooting the bow and arrow and how that's important to consistently have the anchor where it needs to be so that we can hit the mark consistently. And today we're talking about the follow-through. And the follow-through is important no matter what sport you're in, no matter what you do. The follow-through helps you see perhaps where you messed up or where you missed the mark. That is true in a bow and arrow. You want to see what happens. And the reason that's important is the follow-through will tell you if you were completely relaxed when you release the bow or not. If you play sports, maybe you play baseball, the follow-through on how you throw the baseball will show you whether you hit the mark or not. When you swing a baseball bat, the follow-through matters. If you play golf, the swinging of the golf club, the follow-through matters. Football, the throwing of the football, the follow-through matters. I played offensive line, so the follow-through of completing the block was important. If you play defense, the follow-through on completing the tackle. If you play a different sport, soccer, the follow-through on hitting the ball, the follow-through on going to the ball. Maybe you play basketball, the follow-through on shooting the shot, shooting the free throw, shooting their shots. Follow-through is so important because the follow-through takes everything that you built up to do and follow through with it. And that's what we're going to be talking about today as we talk about arrows and this idea of the follow through. You see, every family has a pattern that they commit to, a system in place that they follow. And believe it or not, you, even in your relationships, family or friends, you can be Christians in a relationship and not be in a Christian household or be in fully Christian relationships. And the reason that's important for us to know and the reason that the follow-through is important is it's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to actually do it. Because when the crises come, when the storms come, because it's not a matter of if, but when, each and every one of us will fall or rise to the level of systems or the patterns that we have in place. And so the system that we have in place is the follow-through. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today as we talk about the follow-through. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be camping out in Ephesians today. Now, we're going to be in a couple of different places in Ephesians. What I love about this, once again, is our Vine production team will make sure that the scripture is on the screen today, wherever you're watching throughout the world, if you're not using your Bible. Also, I love that we get to partner with the Bible app, and I want to show you today how you can follow along with us on the Bible app and see all the scripture that we walk through in a place for you to take notes. So what you want to do is you want to download the Bible app from your favorite app store. And once you do that, you want to click on the More tab. Now, once you click on the More tab, you want to click on Events, make sure your location services are on. Once you do that, you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience. You're going to see the title of today's message, the follow-through. You're going to see a place for you to take notes. You're going to see all the scripture that we're going to walk through. You're also going to find a space and place for you to connect with us throughout the week. If there's any way that we can pray for you or specifically serve you in any way. So let's get into Ephesians chapter 3. And what I want to tell you is Ephesians 6. And what I want to talk to you about here in Ephesians 6 is Paul spends the first three chapters of this letter to the Ephesian church talking about God's undeserving love for us. How we've done nothing to deserve the love of God, and yet he lavishly loves us. Okay? And the next three chapters where we're going to be spending our time today, Ephesians chapter 4 through 6, Paul talks about the follow-through, how we live our life because of God's undeserving love for us. So that's what we're going to be walking through today as we talk about the follow-through. So if you've got your Bible, let's get to Ephesians 6. We're going to start in verse 10 and go to verse 17, and it says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." What Paul is saying here 100% is we must build our relationships on God's strength, not our own strength. Because what ends up happening is when we try to build it on our own strength, it will come crashing down. Or even worse, when we try to build it on our own strength, we're just kind of loosey-goosey, laissez-faire, whatever happens, and we just let happen happen. And Paul is saying we can't do that. And that's what I'm telling you what happens is when you shoot a bow and arrow, you can't just let whatever happens happen. You got to have a target. You got to have something that you're aiming towards. And our relationships being God-centered, we have to have a target that we're aiming towards. Because if we don't, and if we're passive about it, we will be overtaken by the devil's schemes. Now, you see, this is so important for us even today to realize in a time that we live in more than ever. Whether you know this or not, a stat that is alarming and overwhelming to me and heartbreaking to me is teenage suicide since 1999 has continued to set records year after year after year. And yet what's even crazier is we've become more free from our morals. We've been trying to separate church so much from everything and separate God from everything. We can't understand why teenage suicide is up. And the reason that it is because we've separated God from relationships. And because of that, all we have left is anxiety and depression. And so why in the world is this so important? Because as we talked about releasing well, but honestly, I just want to put it all out here. What ends up happening is our relationships with our teenagers, but our relationships for our friends even, what we end up doing is we don't prepare our children or each other for the hardship that is guaranteed to come. Guaranteed. And what ends up happening is because we don't prepare for that hardship, what we do is we prepare them for anxiety and depression because they don't know how to walk through that. And so the reason that's important, and we're talking about this in the follow-through today, is when the hardship comes, the system we have in place, the patterns we've set up in place are our default. That is the thing that we go to when things are their worst. And so we can see now more than ever in the society that we live in, when things are the worst, we have to ask the question and answer the question, what is our default? Well, Paul is telling us in Ephesians 6, our default should not be passive. Our default should be to put on the full armor of God and be in God-centered relationships in everything that we do. Doesn't mean that everyone is a Christian around us. It means that we bring the hope of the gospel to the ends of the earth. But more importantly, not only do we bring the hope of the gospel to the ends of the earth, we've got to receive the gospel ourselves first and be who God created us to be so that we can walk with everyone else while they're being all that God created them to be. But if we just let that passively happen and not actively, we're not putting on the full armor of God. So how in the world do we put on the armor of God? Number one, if you're taking notes today, we combine forgiveness and faithfulness. We combine forgiveness and faithfulness. Guys, we talked about this the first week as we talked about here in Arrow's Strong Foundations, how important forgiveness is. Christ has to be first, and he has to be the foundation that we're built on. As a matter of fact, if you flip a few chapters back in Ephesians, Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Forgiveness is not agreeing with you all the time. Forgiveness says, I'm committing to the standard that Christ set before me. I'm forgiving you because he first forgave me. And when I'm willing to do that, I'm willing to see the struggle that I'm having is not with the person that's in front of me, but instead is with an enemy that is Satan, that schemes and never plays fair. And when I see that my enemy is Satan and I see that my struggle is not with a person, but is instead with Satan, I am always willing to put the full armor of God on. So if we want to see how to do that, we've got to combine, forgiveness and faithfulness. Because the thing is, forgiveness will produce more faithfulness. It sounds counterintuitive, but it's true. Have you ever noticed when you're stuck in your struggle so many times, if you're stuck in the guilt and shame of your sin, it's because you haven't either received God's full forgiveness because you don't believe Jesus is who he says he is. Maybe you are a Christian and believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and you're stuck in conviction. Maybe the Holy Spirit is convicting you. You got to take that next step and confess and repent it. But maybe even after you've confessed and repented, you still feel stuck because you haven't forgiven yourself for what Jesus died to forgive you of. You see, Jesus died to set us free from our past mistakes and our future failures. And I want you to know today that when you combine forgiveness and faithfulness, you will see that forgiveness produces faithfulness. You know, maybe right now you can say, well, you don't know what they did to me. I would encourage you, go back and watch Arrow's Strong Foundation. Go back and check that out today. It's well worth your time. Because I want to tell you, some of the most wonderful things and some of the most hurtful things will happen in family and into our best friends and those relationships of those that we love the most. But the thing about family is, it's not just our earthly family, but I want you to know, even the family that is the church sometimes can be hurtful. That is why it's so important that we forgive. Because if we operate in forgiveness, we can always step in faithfulness. Number two, if you're taking notes today, commit to service. Commit to service. This is what we walked through in week two as we talked about knocking the arrow and preparing our children to release well. We want to serve them so that we can release well. When we commit to serving each other, our bond and our relationship just grows stronger, doesn't it? Paul said it this way in Philippians 2, I believe it's verse 3. He said, don't do things out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but instead humble yourself, honoring one another above yourself. In other words, when we get down and serve each other, we will see that the ground is level at the cross, and every relationship that we're part of will grow because we serve each other. You know, when I talk to married couples, the best marriages and the best relationships are when two servants come together. Man, they do everything they can to outserve each other. And then when that child comes, they do everything they can to outserve each other in serving that child. And it just continues to multiply on. And that, my friends, is how we see Jesus do what only He can do. When we commit to service, it's not just the words we say, but the actions that we walk with. Let's see what Paul says in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 21. And it says this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Another way to say it is this way: demonstrate your devotion to one another. Demonstrate your devotion to one another. Why this is so important is in this time we live in, and I'm just being honest with us, so many times we put so much on teachers, we expect them to do so much. We do the same thing in church on Sundays. We expect our pastors and our leaders in the church to do so much, when it's really a partnership of us together demonstrating our devotion to one another, serving one another. Why am I bringing this up? The reason I'm bringing this up right now is your families and the relationships of those that are closest to you are more impacted by what happens around your kitchen and your dining room table than will ever happen on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening. They're more impacted by that than anything we will ever do on a Sunday. And the reason that that's so important is if the only time we're experiencing God's word and Jesus and worship is on Sunday, what we do is we create cynics around us. Because if they don't see us demonstrating our devotion and serving one another, serving the people that He puts in our path the best way we know how, as we follow Him step by step, then what ends up happening is there is cynics around us. And when cynicism is bred, it creates a new system that becomes constantly cynical. We're living it right now, my friends, constantly cynical. So Sunday was never supposed to be the one time that we experience Jesus. Sunday is the overflow of what happens the other 6 days a week. And because of that, that's why we can commit to service on Sunday, is because it's an overflow. In other words, those that we lead, whether it's our children, whether it's a ministry, whether it's those at church, whatever that looks like, let them see our devotion being demonstrated. Let them see us in the Word. Let's have conversations about the Word. Let's have a conversation about what's talked about on Sunday, about what's talked about at small groups. Because if we don't have those conversations, what we end up doing is having a cynical society and have folks who are in cynicism, and they constantly are at a place to where they can't see Jesus because they're so busy trying to find what's wrong. Number three, if you're taking notes today on how to put on the full armor of God, is communicate, communicate, communicate. Not only do we have to combine forgiveness and faithfulness, not only do we commit to service, we got to communicate, communicate, communicate. We talked about this last week as we talked about the anchor point and how our mouth is so important, and the words that we speak will either bring life or death. We can either encourage or discourage those that are around us to help take the next step God has called them to take. Their obedience is not up to us, but we can be their biggest cheerleader to walk with them through the next step God has called them to. Have you ever noticed that when we do that and we communicate well, how it completely changes the atmosphere? Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4, verse 29. Flip one page over in your Bible. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, this is extra credit right here. I want to help you. This is going to be anchor point 2.0, three things that we should never stop communicating as a family or in our friendship. So if you're taking notes, it's extra credit, free of charge, anchor point 2.0 right here, because it's so important as we communicate today. Number one, we should always talk about the power of truth. the power of truth. What I mean by that is we should be in the Word of God, dig into the Word of God, know the need that we have for the Word of God, and see its importance. As a matter of fact, when I say that, so many times we don't know the Word of God, and that's not a pot shot. Let's learn it together. Let's walk through it together on Sundays, on Wednesdays, in small groups throughout the week, or on Thursdays in small groups throughout the week. Wherever it looks like for us to have those conversations, let's have conversations about the Word of God, because when we do that, we talk about the power of truth. I'm willing to bet right now, and it's just where we are and where I want to be better as a leader. If I were to ask, what are the Ten Commandments, how many of us could say those? How many of us could say that to people away from us because we know it? Not the power of the Ten Commandments, because we've talked about this. The law just shows us how we can never measure up, and it's by the grace of God that we can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But it's important to know the Ten Commandments, to know why that's important. It's important to know that there is no other God but our God, that we are not to have any other idols over Him, that we are not to take the Lord's name in vain, that we are supposed to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, that we are supposed to honor our father and mother. We are not supposed to steal. We are not supposed to kill. We are not supposed to bear false witness against our neighbor. We are not supposed to commit adultery, and we are not supposed to covet our neighbor. Those 10 things are so important for us to know. But if we aren't talking about it and having conversations about that, then we can't see how Jesus fulfilled that for us so that we could walk in this life of freedom He died to give us. We've got to communicate the power of truth. We've got to communicate the need for grace. The need for grace. We've got to talk about that only Jesus could pay the price for our sin. We can never do it on our own. We have to talk about God's lavish grace for us. We talked about this a little bit last Thursday as we're diving through Galatians right now. We were talking about this a little bit, and it's something that I would say is this. You see, all of us are born sinners in need of a Savior. And the thing is, the price and penalty for sin is death. And God loved us enough that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to live the perfect sinless life, pay the penalty for our sin by dying on the cross, but loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we could have life, have it to the full. We could live out heaven on earth right now. We could be exactly who He created us to be now. But you see, the difference between heaven and hell is this. Hell is filled with people who chose to pay the penalty of their sin by death on their own. God didn't send them there. They did everything in their own power to decide that the way to pay for my sin is my death, not receiving the free gift of salvation that is Christ's death, and going by the completed, finished work of the cross and having faith that Jesus is who He says He is. And it's only by God's grace that that happened. So we not only have to talk about the power of truth, we've got to talk about our need for God's grace. Number three, we've got to talk about the why behind the way. The why behind the way. The why behind the way. If we don't clearly communicate the why, we don't clearly communicate the moral standards, the systems that we have in place, the patterns that we are creating. If we don't clearly communicate that to our children, to those we lead, to those in our friendships, if we don't talk about the why behind the way, then all we literally have is a pretty refrigerator decoration. It's just a saying that has no meaning. Now, there's nothing wrong with what goes on the refrigerator. Some of the best art I've ever seen is hanging on a refrigerator. I love that. But what I'm trying to tell you is if we don't put any of that into practice, you might as well just put it on a chalkboard and erase it. It doesn't matter. We've got to talk about the why behind the way. We've got to have a dialogue and explain why we're doing what we're doing, just like we talked about the Sabbath, why we are taking the Sabbath. It's in the Ten Commandments, number one, but it's what God's called us to. Man, we didn't create the Sabbath. God created the Sabbath for us. So that's why we take it as a rest twice a year in obedience. And if He tells us to take it 10 times a year, we'll take it 10 times a year. Whatever that looks like, we're going to be obedient to what God's called us to be. We've got to talk about the why behind the way. The why we do it is because God's called us to it. And that should be true for all of us. And when we have those conversations and we talk about the why, we will build trust. And the reason that's so important for our families, for our friends, for our relationships, I heard someone say it this way, and this is the thing they pray with their children every night, and it completely wrecked me. And it's something I've been trying to say to myself and never stop communicating to myself. And she prays with her kids this way every night. She tells them this in their prayer. God is preparing you right now to do the hard things in His good story. God is preparing you right now to do the hard things in His good story. The reason that's so important is she is setting her children up well by communicating to them. It's not that hard things won't ever happen to you. It's that when they do, know that God is preparing you in them for His good story. The good story He's writing about you. The good story He's writing about getting the gospel to the ends of the earth so that people don't try to pay the penalty for their own sin on their own, but receive by grace in faith in Jesus the free gift of salvation. He is preparing us in the hard things. Now, for His good story. You see, that's confidence that will help you push through. Last but not least, how do we put on the full armor of God? Number four, connect to the church. Connect to the church. If we set the pattern now to connecting to the church, when the hard things come, when our children leave the nest, when our friendships seem to go in different areas of the country, wherever they are, if we set the pattern now that we are committing to connecting to the church, that will be the system that's in place. So when the hard times come, you don't just run when the hard times are there. It's already the pattern that's in place, the system that's in place. You're able to show up each and every week, and you know where to find truth. And it's not in the church building, it's in Christ and Christ alone and His family that is the church. Paul said it this way, we just read it in Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. You see, the issue is we want to provide our own protection, don't we? We want to build our own little cocoon, our own little nest, and we think that if we can do it all in our own strength, that we can protect ourselves and those we love from harm. But the difference is, our protection will surely fail. The only protection that we have is the full armor of God. And the hardest thing to do at times is to put the armor on. It's sitting there waiting in Christ. We can put the full armor on. And the thing is, we have got to do that. The way that we do that through connecting to the church is we practice the pattern of church participation. We get that pattern set up. Now, you can connect with us here at the Vine. I'm not telling you that it has to be at the Vine. We believe in the local church around the world. Be connected to a local church wherever you are. But the thing is, I love here at the Vine, we have our sowers class where we tell you the why behind the way. We have our Thursday night greenhouse gathering where we try to dive into the Word of God, and we're looking to have even more groups. We have folks that serve here at the Vine. We have different teams who get together on different nights of the week. We're looking to grow that even more for our sowers here at the Vine. So we love to dive into the Word of God, talk about how important it is to go into the Word of God, do life together, gather around the kitchen table, and have that impact in our life. But also, guys, I want to tell you, in 2021, we'll be going through Financial Peace University again. It is no coincidence that the last time we went through Financial Peace University, God was preparing us for this season that we're walking in that's pretty chaotic economically. And I believe as we step into it in 2021, He's going to be preparing us even more to trust Him with what He's given us to steward. So we've got to practice the participation of going to church. So how in the world do we really connect to the church? If we practice the participation, is it just showing up on a Sunday and sitting in a chair? Absolutely not. How do we really connect to the church? Well, number one, you stretch yourself during worship. You got to stretch yourself during worship. Now, we're going to be walking through that a little bit next week as we kick off our brand new series, How Sweet the Sound, and we talk about the importance of worship. But the reason that what I'm saying is stretching yourself during worship is you follow Vine Worship's lead as they point you to Jesus to have an encounter with Him like never before. You follow their lead. What does that mean? That means at time you raise your hand. That just means you're in full surrender. Maybe you open your hands like this in full surrender. Maybe you like to dance and you're dancing. Whatever that looks like, I'm telling you, you stretch yourself during worship and you open yourself up to God. We pray it often. Take all the problems that we brought in here and lay it at His feet. I'm telling you, in worship, it is the best place to do that. Because every time I brought my big problem and put it at God's feet, I've always seen my big God make my big problem look really small. And my friends, that is what worship is all about. Don't be afraid to sing out loud. You can only sing one note. Guess what? Sing that one note all the way through. Believe it or not, your neighbor don't care that you can't sing. They got their own problems to lay at God's feet. The reason we got the music so loud here is because some of us can only sing one note and we sing it at the top of our lungs, and that's okay. So I want to tell you, stretch yourself during worship. Stretch yourself, open yourself up to God. That's how you connect to the church. Number two, take notes. Whether that's digitally, whether that's handwritten notes, whatever that looks like, take notes. Because the thing is, the reason that it's important to take notes, I want to tell you as a pastor, one of the most encouraging things is even if just one person is engaged in what God has asked me to bring to you. The most discouraging thing is if no one is engaged. And the reason that I say that is I'm not doing this for your benefit. Honestly, most of the time when God's preparing me to share something, He's preaching to me. More on that in a second. What I'm trying to tell you is there's a lot that goes into this every week. It's not just to sit down and scribble something out right quick and on Sunday morning and then go drop it. There are a lot of moving pieces and a lot of moving parts, and the Holy Spirit is bringing a lot of us together, these pieces together, connected together, so that this happens on a Sunday. And the worst thing you can do is not engage in it. And what I'm trying to say is, what I mean by this is the best sermon you will, the best sermon you're ever going to have, it's not the words that are going to come through my mouth or the guest speaker that ever shares this stage or this pulpit or this platform. The best sermon you will ever have is the dialogue, the conversation when you're taking notes, the conversation between you and the Holy Spirit while you listen to someone else preach. That's the best sermon you'll ever have. The best sermon you'll ever have is between you and the Holy Spirit while someone else is speaking. And when you're engaged, you can do that. But if you're disengaged, you can't do that. And so that's why we want to create a worship experience where you're engaged, where you stretch yourself during worship. But also, we want you to circle up and share your life. If you want to connect to the church, circle up and share your life. Talk to your neighbor. We do high fives, fist bumps, talk about where we are. So that way we can connect. And you say that neighbor that's been singing off key the whole time. Absolutely. If you've been paying attention to them singing off key, you ain't been stretching yourself during worship. So you got to stretch yourself in worship first. Take some notes. Get to know that neighbor. Get to know him. Smile. Share your name. Share what's going on. Let's get to know each other. Don't rush out the door when it's all done. Let's get to know each other well. As a matter of fact, engaging in the comments whenever I know I'm begging you for that. I love reading your comments afterward and learning what God's doing in your life. Even if it's simply a high five, I love that. I love getting to know you. Like today, I can't wait to love to get to know your Independence Day memories. I love that. Because the thing is, the worship experience sets you up to connect with each other, the church, the family of God, and that connection will help foster in you the next step God's calling you to take. What I mean by that is God's calling you to a next step. Sometimes it feels scary because you feel like you're having to do it alone, but when you're connected to the family of God, to the church, you have encouragers, cheerleaders helping you, walking with you through that next step. And many times you don't meet those encouragers until you step into a worship experience and participate and connect in the church. It's so important. But last but not least, and guys, I feel like so many times this is the most important of it all. If you've got your Bible, it's found in Slumber Nation 7:4. If you've got that, if you want to turn there right now. The last thing you got to do to connect to the church is eat a good meal afterwards and take the best nap of your life. What I mean by that is after the worship experience, you got to eat a good meal and take a nap. In other words, you go get filled up spiritually on Sunday. You go get filled up spiritually in throughout the week whenever you're listening or watching this. And you go get you a good meal and you go get on that couch and you get into deep meditation with the Lord. You get that strong nap in, whatever that looks like. I'm really joking, but I'm not. Whatever that is, when you're connected to the church, I'm telling you, sometimes the most poured out I am is on a Sunday morning. The most filled I am is on a Sunday morning. So I want to tell you, whatever that looks like, That, I'll be honest with you, that's probably the most virtual amens I've ever heard. If I said that live in the house, it would be the most amens I've probably ever heard. The most engaging. Most people engaged when I said that right there, and that's okay. But in the end, what I'm trying to get to you when you connect to the church is just keep showing up, keep showing up, keep showing up, keep showing up. Have that system, that consistent pattern in place, because when you do, you'll pull on the full armor of God. And the reason the full armor is so important is we are battling against Satan, and he never plays fair, guys. He's always scheming. Believe it or not, he already knows he's doomed to defeat. And if he can just distract you for just a moment and hold you just 1 second away from being all that God created you to be, he knows that he can experience a little bit of satisfaction before he's ultimately defeated. But you see, Jesus didn't die for satisfaction. Jesus died so that we could be set completely free from the schemes of the enemy, so that we can put on the full armor, so that we can be exactly who he created us to be, so that we don't have to walk around in guilt and shame from our past mistakes or future failures, that instead we can have the John 10:10 life, where we don't walk around being defeated because the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but instead we get to live a life and live it to the full now. And so as we wrap up today and we talk about follow through, I would be remiss to say maybe you are in Christ Jesus right now and follow through just hasn't been there for a while. And that's okay. Maybe today's the starting block where you realize you've got a family here at the Vine Church that's walking with you in that follow through. You got a family here that believes in combining forgiveness and faithfulness. You got a family here that is committed to service. You got a family here that's willing to communicate the word of God and our need for his grace, and willing to walk around and know who God is and talk about the why behind the way. You've also got a family that's willing to connect to the church, and the church is you. So maybe today the Holy Spirit is moving in you and telling you the next step you've got to take to follow through. If you need somebody to pray with you on that, we would love to do that. Reach out at prayer@thevine.tv or give us a phone call at or a text message at 864-580-6698. We would love to walk with you through that. Still, others of us here have never given our life to Christ. We've spent our whole life trying to clean ourselves up. And the one thing that stuck out most to you is you realize that because all of us are sinners, that the only price to pay for our sin is death. And you've been spending your whole life trying to pay for your own sin, and instead you're realizing for the first time that God loved us enough, each and every one of us, that even though we were still sinners, he died for us. He sent his son Jesus to live the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, die the death we deserve for our sin on the cross, and loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we could live heaven on earth now. We could be exactly who he created us to be, to show us that death has no power over us anymore. And if that's you today, I want to tell you, we're about to say a prayer in a moment. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you, but the faith. And I want to tell you, you don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to walk around in sackcloth and ashes. You don't have to be guilt stricken all the way through. No, 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 no. All you have to do is receive the free gift of salvation by believing Jesus is who he says he is. As a matter of fact, Romans 10:9 reminds us and says it this way. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what we're declaring with our mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and believing in our heart through faith that he is who he says he is and God raised him from the dead. That is what we are about to pray here in a minute. So I want to ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads and pray out loud after me for the benefit of those who come to the faith for the first time. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve for my sin on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step. the rest of my life the best way I know how. And if that's you, I'm about to count to three and I'm going to ask you to follow through and respond. If you can say for the first time you've given your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on 1, 2, 3. If that's you, would you raise your hand just right where you are? You may even see a hand that's raised on the screen. Would you click that wherever you are? Maybe you comment that you have just, with a raised hand, that you've given your life to Christ. Hey, maybe we would love for you to click that hand that's raised up. Maybe you're listening right now. We would love to talk with you. Would you please reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. Wherever you are right now, would you please let us know, because we want to celebrate with you the best decision you've ever made. And for the rest of us, I'm about to pray and we're about to continue on with Vine worship and have an awesome rest of the day. So dear Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much that we get to be here today. Right now, Jesus, I pray whatever next step you're calling us to take, that we would be willing to take it, that we would operate in faithfulness and follow through, Jesus, because we know that you hold it all together. And so, Jesus, I pray today that as you allow us to hear you and experience you and encounter you, we would leave here better than how we walked in, because we clearly know what you've called us to do. We love you, Jesus. We can't believe we get to do this. It's for your glory, and in your name we pray. Amen. Now let's continue with Vine worship.
An anchor for Your name is higher. Your name is greater. Y'all sing that out with me. Your name is higher. Your name is greater. All my hope is in you. Your word unfailing. Your promise unshaking. All my hope is in you. Say that again. Your name is higher.
Absolutely incredible. I'm so thankful for our Vine fam here at the Vine Church, and we're so thankful that you have made time to connect with us today. And we would love to invite you to connect with us next week as we kick off our brand new series called How Sweet the Sound, and we talk about worship. Now, before we go, I just want to say thank you to all of our military families who give of their sacrifice for our freedom, and many of them pay the ultimate sacrifice. We celebrate that on Memorial Day, but July 4th, it would be remiss for us not to say thank you for the freedom that we have. It is so awesome to live in a country where we are able to worship freely, a country that's not perfect by any means, but a country where we're not afraid to go to church on Sunday morning, and we're not afraid to raise our hands and glorify